Hey, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, a podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
We literally logged on like an hour ago or an hour and a half ago to get started recording, but we've spent like the past hour talking about the Marvel announcements at Comic-Con, and we've been doing like our fan casting for all the movies coming up. Like for the movies where we know a character is going to be there, but they haven't made any kind of announcement as to who's going to play them.
I don't think you can get us in a room together or on a chat and us not talk forever about anything nerdy related.
Yep, just two big nerds here who love talking about nerdy stuff and then also like making jokes about nerdy stuff. Like, you know, this is all public. They've already announced it this past weekend. Like, so they have Secret Wars come out, Avengers Secret Wars. And if it's anything like the comics, the villain is going to be the Beyonder. So it's like, who do we cast to be the Beyonder? And we think that Bryan Cranston might be a good one if they decide to go with like an older Beyonder. And if they decide to go with like a youngish, middle-aged, like late 30s kind of Beyonder, then Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay, how about this? For Ghost Rider, we get Weird Al. I feel like I want him in there somewhere. And I feel like, instead of riding a motorcycle, he drives a, like, what are those, like, what is that thing? It's like a, not a scooter, but you stand on it, and you, like,
a Segway. There you go.
A Segway? Yeah, he rides a Segway playing an accordion, but he's on fire. That's what I want.
I think canonically, anything that the Ghost Rider rides becomes his ride and catches on fire or whatever. So technically, he could do that.
I think we push that, everyone. Everyone listening, tweet Kevin Feige, Weird Al for the Ghost Rider. And we together, we can do this.
Well, now that we know that it's called the Multiverse Saga, so Phase 4, 5, and 6 are the Multiverse Saga, whereas Phase 1 and 2 and 3 were the Infinity Saga, since it's Multiverse and we know that Blade is coming out, I propose that we have, like, Mahershala Ali Blade team up with Wesley Snipes Blade.
I would like that. I would like I want everything. Because I think that Secret Wars, the last Avengers movie for this phase, is going to be Battle World, which is like Avengers fighting Avengers, like different Avengers fighting each other. So wouldn't it be cool if we had the Spider-Man fighting each other, and then now we have the Blades fighting each other? And what about with the Hulks? Can we have Edward Norton Hulk fight Mark Ruffalo Hulk? I know they're like technically the same Hulk, but another multiverse, Edward Norton kept playing it.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, anything's possible. Like, Spider-Man No Way Home, it was all rumored and whatnot that, oh, all the Spider-Men are going to show up. And then, of course, you know, Andrew Garfield was swearing up and down on all the interviews that he was not going to be in there and everything. And then all of a sudden, they're all there. So I'm like, to me, it's like, anything is possible now. Like, I would not be shocked if, like, all of a sudden in the Daredevil Born Again show that, like, Dolph Lundgren Punisher would show up. Like, that wouldn't shock me at all at this point. Or if we got, like, David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury.
You know what would shock me? Is if we had Terrence Howard War Machine show up.
Ooh, like in Armored Wars or whatever?
I would lose my mind. If they were like, here's an alternate Rhodey and it's Terrence Howard, my mind would explode. They would have to pay him not as much as Don Cheadle, though. I feel like you can never give in to Terrence Howard's demand of more pay.
Well, also, just like pay him for like one scene. Like, just have it be one or two scenes and then he's gone.
Or do we cut footage? Do you remember, this is very old, but when on South Park, Chef didn't want to do Chef anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And to get back at it, they just like cut pieces of Chef's old lines together to make new lines. What if we just over-transpose like old Iron Man 1 footage?
I mean, they technically have done that before. Not necessarily that, but in the MCU, in Avengers Endgame, the Jane Foster scene, Natalie Portman wasn't there. That was archive footage from the original film, from the original Thor of the Dark World that they reused. So, like, they could just do that. Just reuse some Iron Man 1 footage, maybe some deleted scenes or whatnot, and put in Terrence Howard War Machine.
If they got Terrence Howard back, I'd just be like, Marvel can do anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for the right price, he would come back. Now, what's that right price? I have no idea, but I guarantee you, if they gave him the right amount of money, he would do it.
Mm. I mean, though I'm sure, like, money now.
Yeah, though I'm sure he's burnt all those bridges, so it probably won't happen.
I mean, yeah, I feel like the Russo brothers burnt their bridge with all their smack talk about Star Wars and Marvel and comic book movies.
Probably. Same with Ed Norton. Like, it'd be cool if we had, like, Ed Norton Hulk show up in, like, She-Hulk or whatever. Since, you know, we're going to go multiversal now, might as well. But, of course, it's not going to happen. I think we have a better chance of Eric Bana Hulk or Lou Ferrigno Hulk showing up.
Oh, my gosh. Can we get all the... Yes, all the Hulks.
That'd be like the Spider-Man thing. We just get all Hulks in one movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then who played? So Lou Ferrigno was the Hulk, but then somebody else played Banner. Was it Bill Bixby? Oh, but he died, so he can't come back. Well, you know what? They brought back Grand Moff Tarkin and In Rogue One, they can probably figure out a way to bring him back and bring back Bill Bixby.
Or we just, I mean, can we tell the... I feel like we could tell the difference between the Hulks, right? Do you do it in the style of that Hulk from that movie?
So the way they've been doing it lately, like with if you watch the Ed Norton Hulk and then you watch the Mark Ruffalo Hulk, is they try to make Hulk... Like, even though he turns into a green monster, they try to give him, like, similar facial features as Bruce Banner. So they could probably do that for all the other ones. When they did Eric Bana Hulk, I don't even think they were trying.
And I think Lou Ferrigno should just be painted green again.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I don't know. That's kind of my... That would be fun. Like, why not? Why not just have fun with it?
Oh yeah, there is a difference between the Edward Norton and the Mark Ruffalo Hulk.
Yeah, they tried to make their faces look similar.
Man, we would have just thinking about if Edward Norton stayed on as the Hulk. What is Edward Norton doing now?
Nothing. I forget, why did he get off of the Hulk? Was it because he was... I've never worked with Edward Norton. I've never worked with him, so obviously I have no formal opinion. But I've heard that he's just, like, difficult to work with, and that's why he was not loved.
I heard he wanted more control over the character. Like, he wanted to say on, like, what direction they were moving the character towards.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it does not work that way in the MCU, even back then.
I've heard that, like, from a lot, he's a good actor. Like, I've liked him in a lot of his work, but I've also heard that behind the scenes, he is a very difficult person to work with.
He should be MODOK.
There you go. We have no idea who's going to play him, so why not? Let him be MODOK. Bring him back into the MCU. Ooh, let him be MODOK fighting Hulk. That'd be super surreal.
Yeah. Oh, man, I can't wait till the X-Men come in. There's so many X-Men characters I want to see.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it either. I mean, they've been very... Aside from the Patrick Stewart cameo and then, like, the small... Spoiler alert, fast forward like a minute or two if you haven't been up to date on Ms. Marvel. But then the small, like, mention of Herbie, or the, it, like, I don't know if I call it a mention, but they strongly suggest that she is a mutant. And so, like, that kind of introduced mutants into the MCU. So it's like, okay, they're setting the stage, so why aren't we going to see, when are we going to see the actual X-Men in the Marvel Universe now?
I mean, we saw Patrick Stewart.
True. In an alternate universe. Like, when are we going to see him in the main? I still have issue with them calling it the
616? What is it?
When they, the 616 universe. But in the MCU proper 616 universe, when are we going to see him?
Well, I don't think we'll see Patrick Stewart, but they're coming.
They're coming. I still, if I wind up being right, like, I want everybody to send me a dollar. reportedly, Jason Statham has signed on to be in an MCU role, though it's unknown what role it is. And I'm holding my breath that he will become the new Professor X.
Well, you'd probably die of suffocation.
I mean, it would fit. He's an old guy. He's kind of got the British accent. Or not old, but he's like older. He's got the British accent, bald head, whatnot. Why not? He'd be a perfect Professor X.
Okay, let me check. Jason Statham should be the Mole Man. That's the Fantastic Four's villain. Danny DeVito should be the Mole Man.
I guess. Who would I cast to be the Mole Man? Kevin Hart.
Okay, I could see that.
Make it funny then. Kevin Hart as the Mole Man. I'm here for it. Well, I'm waiting for them to finally announce that King of the Hill will be in the MCU. I guess we'll just have to wait until D23 or Comic-Con next year or whatever. But yeah, on that note, I guess we should jump into King of the Hill. You love that segue?
It was perfect.
Yes, it was. So this is episode 20. We're doing Bobby on Track, which is season 9, episode 14. So it is, it's kind of in those middle seasons. So the way I've always seen it is like 10, 11, 12, 13 are the late seasons. And then like the first 4 or 5 seasons are the early seasons. And then like there's the middle seasons. So I would call this like the late middle season. This one is a good one because, I don't know, it's funny seeing Bobby on an athletic team, but then also like the reality of it. And I mean, well, let's just listen to the episode. He's a surprisingly good sport about everything. No pun intended. So it's the class time and they're doing a science project or science homework or something like that. And Dooley is showing off his science project and it's a potato that grew eyes. Which, okay, whatever. And Bobby's like, I hope she likes my project, The Rocks of Rainy Street. And he just like drops all these pebbles on his desk. So he literally probably just walked right into the alley, picked up a few rocks and is calling it his science project. All of a sudden, Principal Moss runs in and he's like, hey, I want to introduce all you kids to the fun run. The fun run's happening and, you know, it's to raise money for the school. And while I usually don't try to use this, if all your friends are doing something, don't you think you should too? And then so Bobby's like, oh, I'm going to sign up for the fun run. We're at the Hill House. It's dinner time. And Peggy's talking about this interesting idea that Nancy has called a progressive dinner where you eat a different course at each person's house. And Hank's like essentially saying that's a dumb idea. And Peggy's like, right? That's why I suggested progressive breakfast. We'll have juice at the Gribbles, eggs at the Super Newsome Phones, and we'll come back here for toast. And Hank's Hank. He's just like, why don't we just eat everything at one house? And it's like, well, it's not fun that way. Then Bobby is like, well, I can't make it because I'm doing a 5K. And then Hank's like, well, all right, wait, is 5K, is that like a rap thing? And he's like, no, it's this little run where I run, you know, with a bunch of kids and stuff. So then Hank's like thrilled to hear that Bobby's doing something athletic because, you know, that's Hank. Hank's sporty and everything. And then, so, of course, Hank is like, well, I'll be there at the finish line with the video camera. And then, you know, that means Peggy's going to be by herself. She's like, fine, I'll do the nobody's coming to the progressive brunch. And I guess it's not going to be videotaped either. I don't know about you. Have you ever heard anything about her? I don't know if like this was a mid-2000s thing and it was relevant when this episode aired in 2005, but I don't know that I've ever heard of a progressive dinner. I've definitely never partook in one.
Okay, I have also not partaken in a progressive anything, I guess. But I do know of the idea of a progressive dinner, and I don't want to say that I'm not rich, but I am not rich. And I know a progressive dinner is usually a wealthy person's thing. Like, they'll have it catered. So you'll have, yeah, like, an appetizer at one house, and it's very luxurious. But I don't understand why people, like, usually you're supposed to be neighbors, like Peggy suggests. So you just go eat at each other. You walk to each other's house. That sounds like a lot. But I wouldn't mind a progressive breakfast. That sounds fun. Not the way Peggy says it, sets it up.
Yeah, the way Peggy is doing it, like, juice, eggs, and toast aren't their own courses. Like, they're not separate courses. Like, I imagine progressive dinner is like, okay, I go here for breakfast. We go to this house and we have the appetizer and the salad or whatever. And we go into this course and we have the entree and then we have dessert here. Like, that makes sense or whatever. Like, okay. But, like, I'm not going to go drink juice at one person's house, then walk over to another person's house to eat scrambled eggs, and then walk over to another person's house to have toast. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Also, where's Boomhauer in? I mean, I know we don't want to go to Bill's house, but where's Boomhauer in all this? Is this just a ladies thing then, I guess?
I think it is a ladies thing. That's why we only ever hear about the Super Newsom phones and Nancy, the Gribbles.
Though that is, if this is the items we're getting, this is the order. Like, this is where I would want each item to be at. Like, the eggs are the star, right? Of this. And I definitely think Min could do some good eggs. I trust her more than I trust Nancy or Peggy with the eggs.
Yeah, and how do you throw off, or how do you screw up juice? I mean, I guess if they got the wrong brand or something. I highly doubt she's squeezing her own orange juice. That does not seem like a Nancy thing.
Nancy probably forgot about it, and then they're drinking whatever she has. Honestly.
Or something.
Oh, mimosas would be nice.
Oh, I guess so.
A progressive brunch. We should do that.
One day. Next time in Austin, we should.
Yes. We'll do a progressive brunch. Or maybe we should just go out for brunch. I feel like that would be easier.
Yeah.
How about we also hit three brunches?
Like, yeah, there you go. Because like every, like where I usually stay when I'm in Austin, it's a pretty decent, not that far from you, but also not that close. So it'd be like, oh, let's eat eggs here and then drive all the way to this other person's house and eat pancakes.
Oh, I don't get juice. I want your juice.
You can have takeaway juice for the drive.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so we go back to the alley, and Bill... It's always funny with these alley scenes, like when they cut to the alley and the guys are hanging out. Usually somebody says something really random, and it kind of makes you wonder what was the conversation that led up to that statement. But anyway, Bill's like, so it's true. I need to start wearing suspenders, and he kind of pulls on his belt in his belly showing that I guess his belt isn't suffice enough. Bobby walks out with Hank, and Hank kind of encourages Bobby to go and ask them for money, and Bobby kind of guilt trips the guys into donating for the fun run, and is like, oh, you know, this is going to help us get more stuff for school and pay for our after school programs unless you want us to just do drugs. And then Boomhauer's like upset because he's like, man, between the Girl Scout cookies and we, you know, I'm always having to buy stuff. And then he goes up to Bill, and then Bill's like, oh, what's this for? And then Bobby's like, I already told you. And he's like, oh, no, you told Boomhauer, tell me. I like when people talk to me. And of course, Hank's like, Bill. And then Bill just signs it. And then asks Dale. And then Dale's like, no, thank you. I'm sponsoring Joseph. And then Bobby's like, but Joseph's not running. And then Dale's like, just the same. So race day comes. Bobby raised something like $121 for for his race through the sponsors and asking people around, and even Joe Jack donated, and he doesn't even pay his alimony apparently. Bobby runs and he starts pretty energetic and whatnot, but then, you know, gosh, barely maybe a few yards or something into it, he's tired out and everybody's running past him and everything. Then we cut to the finish line and Hank has the video camera and he's recording as people come by and people are running by, and you know, the herd's thinning out, which shows that like almost everybody who's run is done, and even Principal Moss runs by and everything, and Hank's just kind of wondering, where's Bobby? And then Bobby calls him on his cell phone and says, hey, Dad, can you pick me up? I'm over at the Mocha Bean. And Hank's upset because the Mocha Bean's the coffee shop that's like right by the starting line. So that means that Bobby barely did anything. While they're driving home, Hank's just really upset. And Bobby's like, but it was supposed to be fun running. When I stopped having fun, I stopped running. And then, you know, Hank's like, why couldn't you even at least go 1K? Bobby, you know, Hank's really upset. He's just like, you know, your sponsors expected you to complete this 5K. And so Bobby's like, well, let's just record a video of me running across the finish line. I'll even hold my latte up to my face so that it looks like I'm sweating. At the house, they return and they comment on how there's a lot of toast. And Peggy's upset, like, well, I guess everybody was so filled with juice that they couldn't come here, which also doesn't make sense to me. If they went and got juice first, then eggs, wouldn't they be filled up on eggs? But all right. Yeah, Hank gives Bobby a pedometer and says, you know, you need to measure 5K. That's like, what, 3.1 miles. So you need to walk around 5K today. And so Bobby's like, you know what I'd really like to do, Dad? Learn how to fix a car. And of course, Hank knows that Bobby's just trying to get out of it and just like, hey, move it, boy. Bobby goes to the mall and he barely walks like a third of a mile. And then he runs into a Sharper Image type store and, you know, goes to like the massaging chair and everything. When he returns home, he's only gone about 0.51 miles. And Hank's like, you were gone all day and you only moved half a mile. And Bobby's like trying to make an excuse like, well, maybe after it hits 100, it rolls over. You know, Hank's like, Bobby, truck. Hank drives Bobby to the track at the school and says Bobby's going to run, like, in front of him, run the 5K and earn that money that he raised. And so, you know, this is the only way to make, for Hank to make sure that Bobby doesn't goof off again. The track team arrives, and Hank sees that they're setting up, and he goes up to the coach and says, oh, we'll move. Sorry, we don't want to, like, disrupt you or anything. And the coach was pretty chill about it all and asks Bobby if he wants to join the team. And Hank's a little taken aback because he's like, Bobby is not athletic enough. He's like, you know, and then Bobby mentions that he even injured his knee trying to put on his shoes. And, of course, the coach is just like, hey, you know, we, you know, as long as you try your best, that's all I care about. And Bobby's still a bit reluctant and Hank's like, this is middle school athletics. Nobody cares if you win. They just care if you try, which kind of sounds like something Hank would say. And so Bobby agrees to try. When he goes up to all the guys and says, hey, I'm on the team, they refer to him as Booby Hill, Chain Wasana song does. And they threaten Bobby like, hey, if you ruin this for us, then we're going to ruin you. And naturally, Bobby is a little taken aback by this. So Bobby is now hanging out with Joseph and trying to find a way to get out of all of this. And Joseph's like, you should just throw a javelin into the audience. Bobby just kind of looks at him sideways and he's like, I mean, it'll do something. Bobby is asked to throw a shot put and he throws it so poorly that he actually throws it behind himself. And the coach is just like, yeah, that's fine. You know, we'll work on it. You'll get better at everything like that. We go to the alley and Hank is like, well, Bobby is going to be wearing sweatpants for the right reason now. And then Dale makes a comment of how track and field, it doesn't feel like an actual sport, just leftover pieces of all the other sports put together, which is, I kind of agree with him on that one. Bobby comes home and says, you know, everybody on the team hates him. And Hank's like, oh, no, they're just giving you the business. That's what they always do. You know, we used to make the new guy smell Bill's jockstrap. And then Dale's like, yeah, you remember when Boomhauer told me my mom died? It took the sting out of it, which he really did. So Bobby's like, okay, well, I'll keep trying and, you know, we'll see what happens. And Hank's like, yeah, keep trying. It'll pay off. And then Hank's like, is there any lesson that sports can't teach? I don't know about you, but as Bobby, I would be taken aback too if a coach, like, I know me in high school, I was like, whatever you think of athletic, think the exact opposite, and that's what I was. So I would have been taken aback if somebody asked me to join a sports team when I was in high school, or middle school for that matter.
Same. I would definitely feel like it was a trap of some sort. Like, oh no, I'm clearly diversity hire
yeah.
for this team.
Now, my middle school, it was kind of one of those situations where, like, as long as you could pay the $50 or whatever for the jersey, then you could be on the team. So I did play on, like, our basketball team for a little bit, but I was by no means good. No stretch of the imagination was I good.
I definitely tried my hardest in gym, but I don't know. Oh, well, yeah, I was not born with the athletic gene. I was born with the, I can tell you about episodes of the X-Men animated series gene, but not the athletic
one. Is that a mutant? Is that like part of the X gene? Like a mutant power right there?
Yes, to recall the episodes of the X-Men animated series, it is. It's not useful in battle, but.
I mean, you never know. Maybe, what if you fight like Trivia Master or something? I don't know. I'm making up a villain or whatever.
I'm one tier above Jubilee is what I'm saying. So.
All right. Fair enough. I don't know. What about that kid who, like, an X2, like, his power was changing the TV channel, like.
I mean, that's a pretty good one, though.
That's a useful power if you keep losing your remote, which I do. But then, like, also, how useful is that in battle?
This is true.
Unless the Sentinels are remote controlled and you can just power them off by blinking.
I mean, man, I would hate to go to, like, the mutant camps and then be like, oh, why'd you get captured? You must have, like, a cool power. And you're like, see that TV right there? Shoop. Now it's a different channel. I'm a big threat to the government here.
Yep. That would be funny, though. Well, let's see how Bobby starts to do. So Chain is now hitting on a girl because he's Chain. He's, like, you know, good looking and all that stuff. So he's hitting on the girl under the bleachers as he's prepping for the track meet. And the coach is upset. It's like, hey, Chain, why aren't you warming up? And, you know, Chain is like, why warm up when I'm already hot? And the coach does not find this funny. The girl does, but the coach doesn't. So the coach sees Bobby and replaces Chain with Bobby and tells Bobby to shot put. And Chain's upset, but the coach says, this isn't you. This isn't Bobby throwing. This is you throwing. And, of course, Bobby throws and fails and whatnot. And everybody gets mad at Chain because Bobby failed, because the coach pretty much said it's Chain's failure, not Bobby's. Bobby returns home and tells Hank that they won the track meet. The team won the track meet, and he got to compete. And Hank is super happy to hear this because Bobby got to compete. And then he mentions that Chain had to sit on the bench. So now Hank is even happier to realize that Bobby competed when somebody else had to sit out. So, you know, he's like, there's a bottle of sports drink that I've been keeping. Let's go into the garage and drink it, which I wonder how long he's been keeping that sports drink, because at this point, there's no way it's good. But who knows? Maybe he bought it when Bobby turned 11, and I guess Gatorade and stuff has like a 2-year shelf life, depending on when you buy it. So who knows? At the next trap meet, Chain is focusing. Bobby's goofing around because that's what Bobby does. So, you know, he talks about, like, hey, if this shot put was an egg, you know, it must have come out of a pretty big bird. Another kid is seen eating chocolate, so the coach replaces him with Hill. The coach is just mentions that he is going to replace any kid who is goofing around with Bobby. And, you know, winning is a carrot and Bobby is a stick. So kind of the old carrot stick analogy there. So this is an interesting, I guess, technique that the coach is using. I've never heard, aside from the show, I've never really heard of this before, but let's see how it works. We go back home, and Hank's in like a suit and tie, which you don't see him in all that often. He's usually in his white t-shirt and jeans or his pajamas. But, you know, he's talking about like how he's upset that he had to miss the track meet. Why does he always have to be Mr. Strickland's character witness? Kind of insinuating that what he was doing was going to the... going to court to testify in favor of Mr. Strickland. Bobby comes home and he's happy. He's like, yeah, I did the 440 and, you know, they call me the stick. And Hank is really happy. And he's like, yeah, they call you the stick because you stuck to it. And Hank's like, you see, I don't punish you to make you miserable. I punish you to make you happy. And then Bobby's like, I get it now. That the dynamic of that relationship is always an interesting one. Now, the next track meet, Hank does make it, as well as the guys and Peggy and whatnot. And Bobby is told to do the high hurdles, presumably because the guy who was supposed to run high hurdles missed curfew. And as expected, Bobby is doing horribly. Hank is really confused, like, why is Bobby doing the high hurdles? It sometimes takes him two tries to get onto the couch. And Hank is confused and watching Bobby just make a fool out of himself. And so he's like, you know, I was never taught to second guess a coach, but nothing here makes sense. So he goes down to talk to the coach, and Bill kind of nudges Peggy and is like, if you think that's bad, imagine if we had a child. Hank goes up to the coach, and Hank is, you know, like, you know, I'm not the kind of father that requires my kid to play. In fact, I would rather he didn't, not embarrass himself. And the coach pretty much explains his plan, like, hey, anytime an athlete is misbehaving, Bobby will be replaced, will be that person's replacement, and he's used to essentially shame the good athletes. And Hank is not happy about this, but then the coach is like, the team is on fire. They've won like every game, and they're going to the district finals. And Hank's like, I mean, that sounds good, but I think I'm going to be sick. And then the coach catches another teammate smoking, and he's like, oh, is that a cigarette? Hill, forget about the hurdles. Go to the pole vault. So, this is a very interesting setup here. Like, I've never heard, like I mentioned earlier, I don't think I've ever heard of this coaching technique before outside of King of the Hill, where you let a kid blow it anytime that somebody messes up. Because then it hurts the whole team, and it makes the kid, like, I don't know. That just seems like a weird way to motivate. I mean, according to the lore of the story, it's working. But at the same time, I don't know. I wonder if that would actually work in real life.
I don't think it would. I feel like it hurts the team so much in their overall thing. Right? Is track, are they all each individual sports, or is it like, we add up the scores?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person. But if I think you add up like it's a cumulative score between all the events.
Yeah, then one really bad one could drag the whole thing down. So he's risking a lot, this coach, putting in Bobby. I love how Bobby does the pole vault, though. When you were saying it, I just remember, like, because he takes the javelin, like the, it's a javelin, right?
Oh, it's that's a pole. Yeah, it's a pole. Oh, just a pole.
It's a pole. Oh, wait, javelin's a spiky thing. Yeah. See how much I know about sports. So he takes the pole, and then he throws it on the ground, and then he jumps over it. And you think that's what pole vault is? Oh, Bobby's the best.
Yeah, Bobby, it's just so, well, I mean, we don't really see much track and run in the show aside from this episode. And yeah, Bobby's Bobby. What can I say? He clearly has no idea how to play any of these games. And yeah, like when he's trying to do the pole vault, he literally just jumps over the bar while it's lying on the ground. Like, I guess he had the general idea of correct, just not proper. Like, hey, you need that bar to be a little higher, kid. Also, like, when he's running the hurdles, like, he's still, like, literally trying to climb over them. Like, he just doesn't have the leg strength to jump over them. To where he's like literally, like, he puts his, like, he's trying to climb over a wall or something. He puts his arm on the hurdle and like tries to climb over it, and then of course inevitably knocks it over. So like, he is definitely not athletic, and I don't know. I feel like, I don't think Bobby's dumb, but he has to know that he's not good at any of these things. Like, I don't know, like, unless maybe he thinks it's like a golf thing and the person who gets the lowest score wins. I don't know.
I don't think he understands how this is all working. I mean, there's a lot of different moving parts in track and field, so maybe he's just like, I'm just everywhere. He does eventually catch on, I believe.
Well, we could cover that next. Hank is happy that Bobby is the go-to guy, I guess, for the coach, but he's not happy about why Bobby is the go-to guy. Hank tries to tell Bobby why he is being played. And, you know, he's saying it's not because you're good, it's because you're so bad that when you replace a player, it embarrasses them, so it causes them to want to try harder so that they don't get replaced. And you would expect Bobby's feelings to be hurt by that, but not at all. He's actually like, oh, this means I'm a motivator. That's great. And Hank wants Bobby to quit, but Bobby doesn't want to because his letter ceremony is coming up and he's enjoying it. They go to school for the letter ceremony and, you know, Hank's again in a suit and tie. So it shows how important he considers these things, because I think most everybody else is in fairly casual wear, maybe at the high end business casual. But then he's also not happy to be there because, you know, Peggy's like, oh, this must remind you of when you were in your when you were getting your letter back in the day. And Hank's like, oh, yeah, aside from like losing all the cartilage in my knee and stuff, it's exact same. So he's, you can tell he's kind of upset that Bobby's getting a letter for not being good. But then when the coach brings Bobby up and says, and the one who's responsible for us to go into state, Bobby Hill, and everybody's just cheering him on and saying, you know, stick, stick, stick. So, you know, Bobby's happy. Everybody's happy. Hank's still not happy. Understandably so. We finally arrive at the district finals. Bobby arrives and the coach says everyone's doing great. So Bobby's like, okay, cool. I'll go ahead and take a nap then. He sleeps like on the little cushions or whatever at the end of the pole vault that you're supposed to land on. And Hank's just not upset. He's like, oh, he's taking a nap. And so he goes down to get Bobby. The coach sees Hank going down to get Bobby. So he goes over and he's like, is there a problem there? And, you know, Hank is like, yeah, I'm upset at all this. And this is the way you're treating Bobby. And you're allowing him to embarrass himself out here. And the coach is like, you know, once my technique is picked up and other people start doing it, I'll be put in the track hall of fame. And then Hank's kind of like, there's a track hall of fame. All of a sudden, a kid comes up and says he hyperextended his knee. And he's like, yeah, I saw you talking to Bobby and I was worried that I was going to be replaced. So I wasn't paying attention. And then I injured myself. And now the coach is concerned because he's like, oh, the relay race is like literally needing to start and I need to put somebody in. Otherwise, we forfeit. And there's not another person for me to put in because everybody else is busy doing stuff. And so Hank's like, oh, no, you still have somebody. You can put Bobby. And then the coach is like, oh, this is not a stick type of situation. Like, if he loses, this will actually have repercussions. And And so then the coach tries to, like, come up with some kind of, you know, Coach Carter type of inspirational speech where he's like, you know, there's a paradigm and let's pretend there's an alternate you and we'll call it Bobby minus two. And Hank's just like, forget about all that crap, just put one leg in front of the other and don't quit. So the race happens. Bobby's the last leg of the relay race and Hank's concerned, like, I wish Bobby wasn't such a butterfingers. And Peggy yells out, Bobby, pretend the baton is a remote control. Bobby grabs the baton and starts running. And there's a massive lead. But, of course, Bobby's so slow that all the people, like, that he was ahead of pass him up. And, like, he's getting discouraged and stuff. And I guess that one guy trips and trips everybody else. And so while they're on the ground, that gives Bobby a chance to catch up and run past him. Run past everybody. And he's able to, like, cross the finish line first, like, by, you know, an inch or whatever, or 3 inches. Like, he barely makes it past. And then Hank points out the obvious. He's still proud, but he points out the obvious that, you know, oh, you won, Bobby. I mean, you lost a massive lead and it took a massive pile up for you to win, but you won. And Bobby is like, I'm exhausted. I want to throw up. And Hank's like, go ahead. You earned it. And then the guys are all happy and come up to pick Bobby up and, you know, cheer and carry him on the shoulders. And Bobby's like, oh, you really don't want to carry me right now? And then, of course, the credits roll. So, I mean, I guess the episode ended all right. But at the same time, it was still like, eh.
Yes. Oh, man. I love Peggy saying it's the remote. It's like so classic. And Hank didn't have to say that. It took everyone, the worst case scenario for everyone, for you to win. But you did win. It's kind of like,
I mean, a win's a win. I think Hank is probably just happy that he competed for real this time instead of just being a... like, I think even if Hank... I mean, I might be wrong. We'll never know for sure. But, like, knowing Hank, I think knowing that Bobby at least tried, Hank would be more proud of him than, like, everything Bobby's been doing up to this point where he is not even trying and he's being bad and he's being rewarded for being bad. I think Hank would... Hank seems like he's, like, the honest type of guy who would, like, more appreciate Bobby to try and fail than succeed by not trying at all. Like, I think he hated the fact that Bobby was getting rewarded for being so bad.
And did the coach say that there would be a stick in every track team, or did he say that every track team would have a Bobby Hill?
I think he said one of the two. I think he said every track team would have a stick.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I don't know. I guess, again, I'm not sure that methodology would work. But.
Well, it backfires.
Yeah, it does. Here. It does backfire. Because that one kid's like, oh, he's talking to Bobby. That must mean that I'm going to get replaced. And it causes that kid, who was probably just fine beforehand, to overextend himself. So I guess there's argument for against it and for it, but against it.
Oh man, I love this episode. Hearing you read it, I feel like I laughed so hard, like thinking about all the funny parts. This, oh man, what a great! It doesn't make me want to run though or play any track. So
we did run that superhero run that one time. That was fun.
I was gonna say that. When you mentioned 5K, we ran that superhero run dressed as Dazzler and Jubilee. Yes.
Your costume was way better than mine. Mine looked like a dollar store version of Axl Rose.
Man, that was fun. Yeah, that was a fun 5K. Out of all the runs I've done for charity, that's the best one. Every other one has been a horrible disaster. It's always raining or something.
Oh, that's the worst. When you have to do a rain in a... Or, when you have to run in the rain. I've only ever had that happen, I think, once. There's only one time that it's come to mind. But, yeah, it's not fun. I did the Turkey Trot in Austin, I don't know, 2015, something like that. And it was rainy that day. I think it had just stopped, but it was still drizzling.
But, man, props to Bobby, though, for attempting to do a 5K. I wish he would have just gone through with it. But then we wouldn't have this great episode.
Like I said, he's still, like, I don't know. Like, I think Hank would have just been happy that Bobby crossed the finish line. Even if he finish was, line? Like, the very last person, then Bobby not try at all.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like, Hank just wants Bobby to do something. He doesn't need Bobby to be the best. He just needs him to try.
Yeah, I think that's kind of just like, no, like, I guess Hank would have preferred Bobby to, like, win or whatever, because that's just Hank's personality. But at the same time, I think he would have just been happy that Bobby tried and maybe made an improvement versus him just not trying at all.
I do think that Hank understands, Hank and Peggy both understand Bobby's limitations. Like, when he's like, it takes him 2 tries to get on the couch sometimes. They understand, like, these are Bobby's shortcomings. But they still, like, want him to go out and do things.
Well, I think Hank just, I think Hank wishes that he was a little bit more athletic, because that's what Hank is. And I think Hank has very antiquated ideas of what is, I guess, what makes you a real man or whatever. But overall, I think he does want, like, he just wants Bobby to try. Because Bobby, I think that's, like, Hank's biggest annoyance with Bobby, as we see through the shows, that Bobby seems to lack motivation of any kind.
Yes. And when Bobby does get motivated, it's always like something Hank's not into.
Yeah, the only things Bobby seems to like are things that Hank is completely against. Like, Hank's pretty much against all forms of Hollywood entertainment. So, yeah, the things Bobby likes, Hank just doesn't like. I think Bobby, Hank just has this very antiquated idea of what makes somebody manly.
Yeah. I don't think we're talking about this episode or that episode, but I just always think of when I think of Bobby getting into things is like, remember when Bobby got that ventriloquist?
Yeah, we are not talking about that one, but I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Since we're not talking about it, give it a watch, guys. I don't know what it is. Just Google Bobby and ventriloquist dummy.
Yep.
And that's another episode where Bobby really gets into something, but Hank's not into it. So there's, I like the episodes where, like this one, even though Bobby's not into it, but where they kind of have common ground, the two of them.
Yeah. Although, like, those are definitely the best episodes where they're able to, like, find a common ground, like the propane episode with the propaniacs, and there's a few other ones where they find something that they are both interested in. And I feel like those are the best ones because they're able to just kind of be themselves. Little Horse of Shop comes to mind. Bobby was into shop, and Hank was into teaching it. Yeah, there's just a bunch of that stuff. But yeah, generally speaking, they are not. They are just very, two very different people.
Yeah, I really, well, the one that comes into mind for me is going to be one we're going to talk about towards the end of this run. I think you know with this that episode too, where they find common ground in something and that they both.
Oh yeah, enjoy.
And I love that episode. It's like one of the. I would say that's. Oh man, that's tough. It's tough to say any episode of King of the Hill is my favorite. Because as soon as I say it, I'm like, but I like that other episode too.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just, there's so many good episodes, and it's just such a good slice of life show that it's hard to pick. Like, we took a long time to just come up with a list of 50 that we have for this podcast. And because, you know, going through 200 some odd and whatnot. And even then, I feel like at first we were going to rank them. Like, you know, 50 to 1 or whatever. But we just couldn't agree on what we agreed. Like, what would be the number 1? What would be the number 22? Stuff like that. So we just like, you know what? No particular order. Let's just throw these around and, like, try to kind of, you know, I guess, maybe balance it out. Like, not have too many Bobby episodes in one time. Not have too many Boomer episodes, so on and so forth. But, yeah.
I mean, even now, going through these episodes, like, the Bobby with the ventriloquist dummy. I love that episode a lot. By the way, it's called Now Who's the Dummy? Season 5, Episode 12. If you wanted to watch it, listeners. But these other episodes where I'm like, oh, I forgot about that one. I wish I could have. But then I don't know what episode I would take off the list to add that one.
Exactly.
It's very tough.
Exactly. It is hard.
Yeah. As King of the Hill fans, it's hard to, like, just narrow it down to, like, I feel like we're more than a handful of episodes, but even, like, what, 50 episodes we narrowed it down to, it's still really hard to, like, pick. They're all so good. They all have gems in them.
Yeah, there's too many that are really good. I know we say that a lot, but it's true. But, you know, We will keep doing them, and hopefully, you know, the 50 episodes we do encourages you to watch the rest of them. Next week, we are going to be doing... Oh, we are doing Dances with Dogs. This is another kind of Hank and Bobby episode, but it's kind of them working against each other, not together. You'll see what we're talking about. Just hang on and join us on next episode. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.